Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ and in the name of our great God, the I Am. Amen. So through this series, we have been hearing the importance of names. Names are important. Names are important in our time and in our culture, but especially in the Bible, names are important. We've been hearing that over this last month or so. We started with Adam at the very beginning. Adam meaning made from the earth, showing us that humans are such an intricate part of creation. God breathing life into us. And then we heard about Isaac, which means laughter. Reminding us that God overcomes our struggles and our tears with laughter and joy. We heard about Jacob, which means supplanter, but whom God renames Israel, which means wrestles with God. And this reminds us that no matter what our name or our identity, no matter what our struggles are, God renames each one of us children of God. And then in today's scriptures, we have many clues about the importance and the power of names. We hear all of these names spoken. It's interesting that our very first verse in our reading today mentions Joseph. Although Joseph has not been alive now for 400 plus years at the time that we come into this part of the story. We hear, if you were to keep on reading, you would hear the names of these little-known midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. We hear all of these names of those who are on the side of life, and yet the one person who is not named, it says, a king of Egypt. Even later when it says Pharaoh, we should know that that is not his name, but his title. But really, after hearing all of these stories throughout Genesis about people's names, what we hear about today that's so important is about God's name. In fact, many biblical scholars believe that the purpose of the Exodus event, the purpose of freeing God's people out of slavery, is to reveal God's name to everyone. Which then, when we hear God's name, it reveals God's character. It tells us who God is and what is important to God. God had come to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob repeatedly, reminding them of a promise of land, a promise that their descendants, of their descendants, God would build a great nation, a promise of belonging, that they belong to God and to each other. But as time passed, and now imagine, at least 400 years have passed. This far surpasses even the history of our own country here. Over at least 400 years have passed, and these people have been separated from the land of God's promise. And God's people have mainly forgotten God. So in today's scripture, God gives a name in order to be known. God is neither just a vague, transcendent being that's separated from creation, nor is God just one God amongst many. This is the God of all creation, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the God that chooses to be in relationship. And so God gives a specific name. It's hard to be in relationship if you don't know someone's name. And where God had previously had come to individuals, God had appeared to Abram, and then to Isaac, and to Jacob, and even to a small extent Joseph. God now comes to Moses, not as an individual, but as a mouthpiece, as a spokesperson for God, to let all of the Hebrew people, all of those who are in slavery, know that God wants to be with them, and to make that promise that had once been given to one person, real to an entire nation. So as Moses was keeping the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro, out in the wilderness, he was out in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly he notices a burning bush that would not burn up. Well, you would think everyone would notice something like this, but Moses notices it, and God called to Moses out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." And there are three things that God says to Moses that tell us about God. First of all, God says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." Second of all, God says, "I have observed the misery of my people who are here in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come," God says to Moses, "come and I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt." Well, that's a long thing that God says. But then finally, so here is Moses, and he stands there and he gives every excuse he can. "I'm not the right person. I can't talk. I can't speak well. These people don't trust me. I just killed an Egyptian, and then the Israelites don't trust me because I grew up in an Egyptian house. I am not the right person." And God says, well, actually, God doesn't even answer his question. I love this about this. God, Moses is saying, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" I love in this text, though, that God just kind of blows right over that question. Instead of answering the question, says he brings the emphasis back to where it should be. You know, when we tend to focus so much on ourselves, our worries, our fears, God brings it back to God. Instead of answering Moses' question, God says, "I will be with you." Then after more wrestling to try to get out of this, Moses basically is saying, "But no one will believe with me. No one knows you anymore after 400 years. No one remembers you, and it's been so long since our ancestors knew you. What shall I say? Who should I say sent me?" And God says to Moses, what has become a holy name of God, God says, "I am who I am." Now, these three things say so much about God. I know it sounds like way more than three things because they're long verses, but they say so much about God, about who God is. First, remember that first thing. It's a little bit shorter. God simply says, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." God says, "I've been around, Moses. I've known your ancestors, and I know you. And you know me, too. I am the God of yesterday, of today, of tomorrow." This is still true for us today, for each of us. God is the God of our ancestors, those whom we're tied to through blood and family, and those ancestors of faith, those who have gone before us. God will be with us, just as God has always been with those who have gone before us. And we have a God who has drawn us together with other people of faith. Those around us today, those who have gone on long before us, those we agree with and those we disagree with, those we like and even those we don't like, God draws us all together. But God has drawn us together to be in community. A community of love and support and accountability and service. And God will continue to draw us and all people together. So So this tells us the first thing about God, that God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and God draws us all together. And then next, God says, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land of slavery. God is a God of action. I don't know if you heard in that of what I read, but those few verses are full of verbs. God says, I have observed their misery. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings. And finally, the one that I love, I have come down. God is a God of action. God takes action. But God doesn't leave it just at that, at God's action. God draws Moses into that action. In the very last line of that section of verses, God says, come, I will send you. Now, this is a word both of comfort for us, but also a word of action, a word of call. Because God hears whatever cries you might have. God knows your sufferings. God sees, observes the sufferings of the world, and there are plenty. And this week we've had too many. But God comes down to be with us. I know it doesn't always feel like it. We want perhaps a God who would solve all of this, who would take it all away. And we ask, why not, God? Why not take this all away? Why not just make it better? If God has the power to, why not? And I believe it's in that last line. See, God is a God of action. God has there are all these verbs in these verses, but it is in that last line, so come, I will send you. See, God is drawing us together to be part of the work of God. God draws each and every one of us into action. God calls each and every one of us, sends each of us into misery and suffering of others, to be a source of comfort, to tell people of a God who chooses to be with them and in relationship with them. And then that's all confirmed in that third and final part of what God says about the identification from God, where we hear God's name. God first says, I will be with you. And finally says the name, I am who I am. This is God's name. I am who I am. In Hebrew, it looks very strange. It's actually just four letters. In ancient Hebrew, there were no vowels. And so, I am who I am, if it's transliterated directly to English, it shows up as four letters. YHWH. And if you try to say that without the vowels, you know, it's... Bleh. So, it doesn't make a lot of sense. There is not full knowledge of how, but there's a certain understanding that probably this was pronounced, and you perhaps a name that maybe you've heard before, it was pronounced Yahweh. But out of respect for that holy name of God over many, many, many years, people stopped saying the name because they believed that it was so holy that the name itself should not be spoken. So, they simply replaced it with Lord, which in Hebrew is Adonai. And incidentally, if you're ever reading through your Bible, and I've heard a number of questions in this last week about this, if you're ever reading through your Bible and you wonder, you see it occasionally where Lord, the word Lord is in all capital letters, L-O-R-D, all capital letters. That's the way that most Bibles translate those four letters of the name of God, YHWH. They put it in all capitals to distinguish all the other times the word itself for Lord might be used. So occasionally the Bible will just say Lord, as in Adonai or master or leader. And in that case, it'll be in lowercase. And then the other times where when it uses it for the word, the name of God, Yahweh, it will have Lord in all capital letters. Just an interesting little thing for you to know, that when you see that in all capital letters, this is the holy name of God in your Bible. This is God's name, Yahweh. And we're given this name so that we can call upon God. And I know many of us, most of us probably don't call upon God using that name, Yahweh. But the point is for us to know that this is the way that God shows us that God chooses to be in personal relationship. The holy name of God, Yahweh, means to be. Or maybe more accurately, to be present. God chooses to be present. God chooses to be available to us no matter where we are, no matter what we've done. And God chooses to be present to others, which often happens through us. This also means that even when it doesn't seem like it, God is in control. Not always the way that we might want, but God is in control and is with us, present with us in our struggles, in our loneliness, in our despair. The name I am means that nothing else is without God. And God does not leave us abandoned or hopeless. So in all these ways, and with all these words, God tells Moses and all of us who our God is. This is the great I am, a name that portrays the character of God as relationship, as divine presence with us, as action, as love. This God is intensely interested in working to free all who are in bondage. The reason that God shows up at this moment in history to a people who are bound in slavery. But God continues that work. To those who are perhaps bound in slavery, just like the Israelites were themselves, or in bondage to some other idea or thing or person or some kind of internal struggle that we might have. Or maybe we're in bondage to poverty or sickness or anything that prevents us from living the kind of life that God created for us. A life of freedom and joy and love for others and for ourselves. And God calls to each of us, just as God called to Moses. I recently made a discovery in today's scripture that I have to admit, I've never noticed before. My attention has always been drawn to this amazing thought of a burning bush that's never consumed, or to God calling Moses. And I want to hear for myself and for all of us, where are we in that? But my attention has always been drawn to those things so much that I completely missed one little gem of a verse. When Moses saw the burning bush, he tells himself, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush isn't burned up. And then here it comes. The very next verse, chapter 3 and verse 4, the very next verse says, when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside, see, God wasn't calling out in the middle of the wilderness, Moses, as if it's like a tractor beam pulling Moses in. This bush is burning, demanding Moses' attention. And it's only then when Moses notices it, then God calls to Moses. So this made me wonder, how many others might have passed by that same bush out there in the wilderness and not noticed? Sometimes we might ask the question, why doesn't God come to us today in that same way? Why doesn't God come to us in burning bushes and calling to each of us? But hearing this, I wonder, how many burning bushes have I walked by? How many burning bushes are there around us every day? How many of us have had a burning bush moment, a time where we felt like suddenly we were on holy ground, a time where God was speaking to us, whether out of a burning bush or in a dream or in the Word of God or through each other? Pay attention to those for God's sake, for the sake of others who need to know that God is with them, for your sake and mine. Because wherever or however or whenever God is speaking to you, that is holy ground. An old poem from the 19th century reads, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God." Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God. God is setting fires all around us, hoping to grasp our attention, hoping to give us hope, hoping that we will hear a promise of love, hoping that we will learn about this relationship with the great I Am, Yahweh, who wants to be with us. So no matter what your name is, no matter who you are, God's name, the name, is reflected on each and every one of us and revealed in us. God invites you to call upon that holy name, to know that God is with you always, and to share God's promise of presence with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.